Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Colonel Mark Robertson, retired Republican candidate for CD1 running against Dina Titus, here for the whole show on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
It's one of the oldest scams in Vegas. Make them think one thing and pull off another. Meet Sam Brown, or as Republicans call him, Scam Brown. Brown created a special fundraising committee he said would be used to elect Republicans. But instead, Brown pocketed money for his own campaign. In fact, fewer than 2% went to helping other candidates. Sam Brown, can't trust him to be for you. Win Senate is responsible for the content of this ad.
Come one, come all, it's the $125,000 carnival of cash and prizes at Tamarack Casino. Get in on the fun with cash and free play prize drawings every Thursday and Saturday, including winners of up to $1,000 and a top prize of $5,000 guaranteed each week. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome to the program Colonel Mark Robertson, retired. He's running for U.S. Congress in CD1 against Dina Titus. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thanks, Sam. I'm glad to be here.
You served 30 years in the military. 10 different countries, including Afghanistan, Kuwait, Qatar, and Iraq. So I wanted to start out, if you don't mind, with getting your take on what's going on currently in the Middle East with Israel, Gaza, and the potential retaliation of Iran. Your thoughts, sir?
First, I support supporting Israel, and Israel's our strongest ally in the Middle East, the only democracy there. They've had our back in years past, and we need to support them in their fight against Hamas and the terrorists that are there. If we didn't learn anything from 9/11, we should have learned that if we don't take care of it over there, it will come over here. So again, I support Israel in their fight to protect themselves. And go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, what do you make of, you know, the first time that Iran was going to retaliate, they broadcast the information about the attacks several days in advance so that not only Israel, but the United States, Jordan, and other countries were all able to coordinate to retaliate against the drones and bombs that were sent their way. This time, our media has been broadcasting that the attack is imminent within days. What do you make of that?
I think it was prudent on Iran's part to do that. They needed to take some type of action for their own domestic purposes. They had to show their own people that they were going to do something. But then by announcing it to the world, they were minimizing what damage there might be so that it didn't grow into a larger confrontation. Again, I think that was prudent on their part. Iranians aren't always known for being prudent, but this time they were. I think we're seeing the same thing now with the media talking about it. It's imminent. It's going to come. And I think Iran, again, is signaling that they need to do something domestically, but they don't want to provoke a wider confrontation.
All right, so bottom line is you're saying that the noise that they are making is more for domestic consumption rather than necessarily widening the war. Did you ever think that there would be a time when Saudi Arabia and Israel would be aligned against Iran, and the possibility of not only Saudi Arabia, but the United Arab Emirates joining with Israel to move forward and essentially leaving the Palestinians to the side?
Well, it isn't unusual that Saudi Arabia would be against Iran. Saudi Arabia has been concerned with Iran for decades. And of course, Saudi Arabia is Sunni and Iran is Shia. And so they've had adversarial relationships for millennium. And so it's not unusual to see Saudi there. What is, as you pointed out, what is unusual is the alignment of Israel in some of these Arab states. I think a lot of that can go back to the Abraham Accords and the peace process that was started 4 years ago. And it's paying dividends now. And as for the Palestinians, the Arab world has kind of left them out in the cold ever since the 1940s, since the state of Israel was created. The Arabs have left them out, even though the Arabs have a lot more territory than Israel does. The Arabs haven't seen fit to invite them Palestinians to settle in any of their lands.
What do you, you're a fiscal conservative, so I'm curious as to what you think of the fact that when I spoke to Senator Rosen a couple of years ago about what was happening with Ukraine, she said that from the very beginning, the United States had agreed to backstop the United States military with all the weaponry that it needed to replace the weaponry that was going to fight in Ukraine, and I'm presuming the same thing applies to what's happening in the Middle East. Isn't that essentially replacing our entire weaponry?
Yes, I do support providing weapons to Ukraine so that they can defend themselves. I do not support sending cash to Ukraine to bolster their pension program, which has happened under the Biden administration. They've sent cash to some of their civil organizations besides the military. But I do support sending weapons, because just as you said, we are sending them, the weapons that, and ammunition we're sending them comes from our stock. And then we're spending billions of dollars with American companies to manufacture and restock our munitions with newer ammunition and weapons. So I support that, and I think it's a bargain. If you look at the work that Ukraine is doing in dismantling the Russian military, and it's coming at a cost of about 5% of our defense budget. If you had said, hey, what if we could spend 5% and dismantle the Russian military without putting any American lives in danger, would you take that proposition? And the answer would be yes, all day long we would do that.
One of the things that hasn't come up, but it did certainly come up in Afghanistan with the withdrawal, was the number of contractors, U.S. contractors, that we had operating in Afghanistan. To my knowledge, we have never seen any numbers of U.S. contractors working in Ukraine. Do you believe that we have large amounts of U.S. contractors, not military, but contractors, working, and some would call them mercenaries, working in Ukraine?
I'm not aware. I'm not privileged to know any of that. That would be classified information, and it's not anything that I'm aware of or are entitled to know.
All right. If you were fortunate enough to win this election, and you came pretty close last time around in CD1, would you want to serve on armed services?
The House Armed Services is a natural fit for me. I also had 20 years in the financial services industry, so financial services. I also have an interest in natural resources. You know, 87% of Nevada is owned by the federal government. I think that's a shame. And we have a lot of natural resources that are here. We also have the water issues, so I would join the Western States Caucus to fight for water for Nevada. So those are three three of the committees that I have an interest in. I would also have an interest in education. I have, my wife and I have four children. Two of them are teachers and two of them are married to teachers. I also taught in Clark County Schools and at UNLV. So education is important to me as well.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back much more with Colonel Mark Robertson. He's running for U.S. Congress CD1 against Dina Titus right after this timeout.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Story County is leading Nevada. Home of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Google, Tesla, Panasonic, and other world-leading companies. Story County provides thousands of tech, advanced manufacturing, and logistics careers for Nevadans. We're diversifying and driving Nevada's economy and generating millions in tax revenue and billions in economic activity across northern Nevada. Story County is leading Nevada's future.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Colonel Mark Robertson, retired. He's running for U.S. Congress in CD1 against Congresswoman Dina Titus. Let's talk about the border, because that's something that you bring up on your website. You know, we have not seen immigration policy in this country that has really taken hold since 1986. And that was under the Reagan administration, but it was actually started by Jimmy Carter in 1977. It seems like nobody wants to carry this hot potato. I followed that issue very closely back in those days, which gives, I guess, a little guidance to my age. But what happened there was that you had, you know, a senator and a congressman who took the issue and ran with it until it got to a point where it could be elevated to actually pass, and then senior members of the Senate took over and got it through. The last time we saw any serious movement was when George W. Bush, Senator John McCain, and Senator Harry Reid tried to pass immigration, and then it got blown up because John McCain decided to run for president. What gives you any optimism that we're ever going to see an immigration reform bill?
Well, I do have optimism that we can work together to do that, and it will take a bipartisan working together effort to do it. The first thing you have to do, though, is to secure the border. You can't address the problem while it's getting worse every day. So the first step has to be to stop the flow of guns, gangs, and drugs into our communities. And I think there is widespread support among local, state, and federal authorities that we have got to do that. And so once you've secured the border, then we've got to reform our immigration laws. We need to make it difficult for people to break our laws and to stay in our country, but make it easy for those who we need to come into our country to come into our country. We have labor issues, and so we ought to have a system that allows the people with the skills that we need in the United States to come into our country and to contribute to our economy. And so I am all for first securing the border and then amending and changing and reforming our immigration laws to make it hard to come in, and but easy for those who need to, who have the skills that we need.
Okay, a very simple answer to a very complex question. So let's take a few of these issues. So the first one is securing the border. As long as there is extreme poverty in Central and South America and around the world, America is going to continue to be a magnet. So is part of the solution providing funding to legitimate governments in some of these countries to provide work so that these people can have a better family life? Is it funding military operations to, you know, clamp down on the cartels? I mean, it's just not as simple as just saying shut down the border. If you have 100 border patrol agents and 1,000 immigrants rushing the border, they can only grab so many. I mean, I was down at the border myself several years ago watching video from the border patrol, and it's an unbelievable thing to watch.
Yeah, so to secure the border, you do need those physical barriers, and you need federal law enforcement, border patrol there to enforce those things. But you also need to stop all of the forces that are pulling people to us. The promise of free food, free housing, free healthcare, free education. We've got to let people know, you break our laws, there's nothing, you're not going to get anything for free here, and we're going to quickly return you. If people knew that they'd be returned to their country and that there's no free handouts in America, then that stops the pull of people coming here, and they decide maybe it's better for them to stay home and try to improve their own country. Yeah. And so we've got to stop all the pull factors that are causing people to come into our country. And there's got to be real consequences when people break our laws. When people see that, when they get the word that, there's nothing free, there's no more handouts, and there's consequences if I break their laws, and those consequences could be jail time in America or return to my country, then maybe they won't spend the $5,000 giving it to coyotes to help them get across our borders. Maybe they'll keep their money and try to build up their own country.
But at the same time, the cartels are doing everything they can to encourage this because, as you point out, they're making money from it.
Yeah, but we signal it. I mean, in the presidential debates, President Biden says, come, we welcome you. And Kamala Harris said, we want to decriminalize coming into our country. There were way too many pull factors. And then they dismantled all of the safeguards and the successful policies that were keeping people out of our country. We've got to go back to where we are. It's a matter of national security. If you don't have borders, you don't have a country. We've got to go back to where we are controlling our own borders, and we, the American people, decide who comes into our country.
The other side of this, of course, is that the cartels, in bringing drugs in, have multiple tunnels. I mean, you look at Gaza and the tunnels. I don't know how many tunnels we have, but I mean, it's pretty extensive and well-equipped with trains and other things like that. So, you know, our border is being invaded by many different routes. But also, up until the last few years, ports of entry were another huge place where people were coming in and just essentially staying over their tourist visas.
Exactly. And so there needs to be consequences for those people who overstay their visas and for those who are in our country illegally. There's got to be consequences. We've got to start sending them back. And we need a cooperative arrangement with Mexico. We had that 4 years ago, but we need to strengthen that relationship with Mexico. You first do it through diplomatic means and economic means. You've got huge economic ties with Mexico. They depend on the relationship with the United States. We got to let them know that continuing that relationship means they're going to have to cooperate with us with addressing these cartels, addressing the tunnels, addressing the hordes of people coming through their country.
All right, let's take another break. We'll have more with Colonel Mark Robertson running against Dina Titus and CD1 after this timeout.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job serving you. Safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, From the exotic to the everyday. Trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
They want us to believe we only have two options. That's just not working anymore. I've never been a follower. I'm a businessman and entrepreneur. I'm ready to forge a new path to secure our future. One that keeps Northern Nevada free, fair, and wild. A path that means freedom for all, including affordable housing.
I'm Greg Kidd, and I approve this message because I'm not from either political party. I'm for Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Colonel Mark Robertson, retired for U.S. Congress, CD1, running against Dina Titus. One of the things you talk about on your website is term limits for Congress. You want to limit terms to no more than 12 years. By the way, good luck on that.
Yeah, it is aspirational. I don't think it's reasonable to expect that the people who are in those positions would vote to themselves out of office. And so it is aspirational. But I believe that the founders of our country never envisioned a permanent political class. I think they envisioned that people would go and serve their country for a time and then come back home to their farm, to their businesses, and live under the laws that they created. When Dina Titus brags about being in politics for 35 years, I think she should be embarrassed that she hasn't lived in the real world under those laws that she's created. I think term limits would go a long way to help to stop the polarization that's going on and to find fresh people with fresh ideas.
All right, but let me play devil's advocate here and throw out that if you are elected to Congress, you would be number 435 in the pecking order. And it would take years and multiple times of being sent back to Congress to gain enough seniority to be able to carry out some of the things that you would like to do. If you look at Congressman Mark Amaday, he has been in Congress for a long time before he got to be one of the cardinals and in charge of, these funding bills. Your first years would be spent essentially doing constituent services, would you not?
Yeah. You're absolutely right. I'll be one of 435, and I'm running for the House of Representatives. So the president represents the entire country. The Senate represents the state. I will represent the 750,000 people that are in my district, and I would be proud to be doing constituent representation and constituent services. If somebody's Social Security check's not right, they should call me. If their veterans benefits haven't started, they should call me. If they are having to wait outside in the sun for an hour and a half to get into the Medicare office, they should call me. It'll be my job to make sure the federal government is working for the people of my district. I would relish the role of being able to take care of my constituents. I hear over and over again that people are frustrated because they can't get Dina Titus to respond to their pleas for help. I'm running so that I will be there for their pleas for help. And I would enjoy that role of being a servant to the people who send me to Washington, D.C.
And I just want to point out that Dina Titus will be on this program during September when we're in D.C., and she will have a chance to be able to respond to you there. one of the things that you talk about on your website is control spending and stop inflation. This would be a great Republican talking point, except for the fact that we've seen both sides of the aisle go completely bonkers in terms of spending. I mean, we're at close, and I think you point this out, to $35 trillion in debt. How could you possibly think that you are going to be able to stop this feeding at the trough when both sides have given up on any kind of economic reality?
You're right, Sam. This is a bipartisan problem. Both sides of the aisle have contributed to this, and spending is out of control on both sides of the aisle. I will be, as you pointed out, one of 435, but I will be one more voice of fiscal constraint. There are Democrats and Republicans in the House of Representatives that are concerned with the $35 trillion of debt. And I will work and join forces with those people who are concerned with the level of debt and do not want to burden our children and our grandchildren with this level of debt. We don't have to guess what happens when you continue to print, borrow, and spend money that you don't have. We can look at Zimbabwe and Venezuela and in ancient times at Rome and Greece and see what happens to a country, a civilization that goes into this kind of debt. It can be the death of a country. This is a serious issue. Unfortunately, there's not enough that are taking it serious, but I will join my voice with those other voices who do think it's a serious issue, and will take principled action to try to reverse this trend of government spending.
And that's where we have to leave it. I thank you so much for doing this. Good luck on the campaign trail. Colonel Mark Robertson, running for U.S. Congress against Dina Titus. We appreciate you taking the time, sir.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate being here.
You're welcome, and we'll be right back.
Hit the open road on a brand new Harley or win a bundle of cash during the $250,000 Harley-Davidson giveaways at Carson Valley Inn. Thousands in weekly giveaways, plus multiple grand prize winners, including cash and seven brand new Harleys. Now at the Carson Valley Inn.
Here on 7 at 7, we're bringing you the local headlines in just 7 minutes.
We've got you covered in the morning, evening, and for all breaking news in between and as it happens.
Life is busy, and we don't waste your time. Join us for local news now streaming on our YouTube page.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Event Center sits at the heart of the Las Vegas Strip. Two floors of meeting and event space are ideal for groups and conventions. Stay in one of 200 luxurious rooms and suites. Brand your event throughout the property. Flexible event spaces make for easy planning and personalization. Take over the entire hotel with a full buyout option.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day on various platforms, including television, radio, our website, audio and video podcasts, YouTube. You want to find the show, you can find it pretty darn easily. And we cover politics, business, health, and education. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.